It's sports talk for the whole family. If your family's as crazy as we are. It's the Sporting Goods. Mondays from 2 to 3 on Brooklyn College Radio's 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. We do sports right. Well, most of the time.
Live from the campus of Brooklyn College, it is Geek Speak with Ian Levenstein. Ladies and gentlemen, Ian Levenstein.
Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to Geek Speak here on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. And of course, Episode 9 of the Geek Speak podcast, now at the brand new website at speakgeekspeak.com. The old website is officially gone now, geekspeak.typepad.com. I officially canceled my Typepad account to make way for Speak Geek Speak, so you'll just have to redirect your pages. It's all good. And the XML feed has officially been switched over, so you'll be able to find it nice and easy through iTunes and through FeedBurner. So all is right with the world. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Thursday night here in Brooklyn. I hope it's a beautiful night for everybody else out there in podcasting land and, of course, in radio land. And we got plenty of great geek stuff to talk about today. Now, not exactly great as well. A lot of bad news coming out of Geekville for the second week in a row. Obviously, the most important news that I've found are all of the games that will not be compatible as of now with the Xbox 360. And this list is long. You might think it's not too many good games, but there are plenty of great games on that list, and I'll be getting into that on today's show. Also, rumors coming out of Apple that the iTunes Music Store might very well be forced to end its uniform pricing model of 99 cents per song. Is this a good thing for the music industry, or is this a bad thing? I will have my take on that. Also, information on Intel Macs coming sooner than we might think. Is it going to be PowerBooks? Is it going to be iBooks? Is it going to be iMacs? Well, I have the information for you, and I think it's pretty reliable as of now, so I'll let you guys know. Also, very interesting news coming out of Sony, because there has to be at least one Sony information thing on every single one of my shows, it seems, because that's the way things are going right now. Sony has officially put up an apology at their Sony BMG website. Are they actually sorry, or is this just a formality? Well, we don't know yet. I'm thinking it's a formality. I'm sure a lot of people are as well, but we'll definitely get into that in today's show. And we got some listener emails that I want to get into, and some of the websites that these listeners are associated with, I will as well plug on the show because I'm a nice guy like that. Number to call here is 718-951-4444. That's 718-951-4444. The email address is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. If you have anything you want to mention to me while I'm on the air here, I'll have my Gmail account open and ready to go for the rest of the show. And also, if I have time, I will begin talking about, since I like talking about retro gaming on the show, brand new hack coming out of a Nintendo ROM. Oh yeah, it's Grand Theft Tendo. Now you might think to yourself, what the heck is that? Well, I will certainly get into that. It is a Nintendo hack with Grand Theft Auto. That's what I'm talking about. And we will certainly, certainly, hopefully end up getting into that sometime in today's show. But I'm going to start things off with the Xbox 360 information, because I feel that that's pretty much the most important news coming out of Geekdom this week. Now, on the Xbox site, on the site for the Xbox 360, they have a large list of games available now that are going to be compatible with the Xbox 360 that were old Xbox games. The one thing they don't mention are all the games that are incompatible. And incompatibility is a major issue here. They've got about, I'd say they've got at least 200 or 300 games on this one website here over at gamersdaily.tv. That list, all of the games that you cannot play on your Xbox 360. Now, there's some really terrible games on this list, I gotta say. Aquaman, Battle for Atlantis, I'm sure nobody's really gonna be missing that too much. blinks the time sweeper. Really not too much of a miss there either. Some of the old ESPN games, but there's some big names on there as well, and I'm going to mention some of them right now that I feel are really going to hurt the compatibility of the Xbox 360. All three Burnout titles, Burnout, Burnout 2, and Burnout 3, are as of now incompatible with the Xbox 360. Obviously, out of those three, Burnout 3 would be the one that people still play regularly, because I know plenty of people who just don't like Burnout Revenge. I'm not one of them, obviously, because I really love that game, but I also love my Burnout 3. I have it for PlayStation 2, so I'm in the clear, but for all I know, it could end up not being compatible with the PlayStation 3, because Sony are really good at lying. But as of now, the Burnout 3 is incompatible with the Xbox 360. Now, this game doesn't really have too many, like, upscale mechanics going on here. I mean, it's got some great graphics for a Xbox game. It's got some great action as well. As to why it's not compatible with the Xbox 360, well, I guess we'll never know. Then, of course, you've got titles like Bruce Lee, Quest of the Dragon, which I've never played, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which I'm sure all the Buffy fans are going to be really upset about, but chances are they played that a long time ago, and they're really not going to play it too much in the future. Then you've got a lot of Lord of the Rings games. You've got Lord of the Rings Fellowship of the Rings, Lord of the Rings Return of the King, and Lord of the Rings The Two Towers, all incompatible. But here is the ultimate kicker. Madden. Madden 2003, Madden 2002, Madden 2004, and Madden 2005 are all going to be incompatible with Xbox 360. Now, contrary to popular belief, there are plenty of people out there who do not buy every single Madden game every single year, because a lot of the times, there aren't really too many upgrades to a Madden game that will lead you to purchasing this brand new version of it. Because the brand new version is pretty much the old version with a couple of roster updates. That's it. But here, we have Madden 2005, one of the most recent versions, going to be completely incompatible with the Xbox 360. That's a problem. That is a serious, serious problem. Madden games are played on a regular basis. ESPN NFL 2K5 will be incompatible. ESPN NHL 2K5 will be incompatible. That's important too, because those are the last ESPN games that were made for the Xbox before the ESPN license was purchased by EA, before the 2K franchise lost their NFL license. Major problems there. Metal Gear Solid 2. Yeah, you're right. Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance. The Xbox version of Metal Gear Solid 2 will be incompatible with the Xbox 360. Metal Slug 3, Midnight Club 2. A lot of these are upscale games. A lot of these are games that people still play today. Now, I'm going to go all the way down the list here. X-Men Legends, incompatible. Van Helsing, incompatible. So, you got a nice mixed bag here. You got a mixed bag of games that people would never want to play again, like War of the Whiskers by New Kid Co. What the heck is that? To games that are very, very compatible. Games that people still play today. It's a problem. Now, what is the Xbox going to do with this? Well, there are reports coming out of Microsoft that they are already working on a brand new processor for the Xbox 360 already before it even comes out. Launch date for the Xbox 360 is next week. I believe it's the 21st is the official launch date of the Xbox 360 worldwide. They're going to have a huge spectacle about it on G4, and everybody's going to go crazy and buy themselves Xbox 360s. Now, there have been comparisons as well between the Dreamcast and the Xbox 360, and the dangers that both of these systems faced on their launch. And I'm going to hopefully get that for you right now. Yeah, here we go. Dreamcast 2.0. This was a story that was covered on 1UP.com. 23 eerie parallels between the Xbox 360 and the Sega Dreamcast. Number one, launched a year before the competition. Both of them launched a year before the competition. Dreamcast was launched a year before the GameCube and the PS2. Xbox 360 is being launched a year before the PS3 and the Nintendo Revolution. Number two, faced a far superior next-generation PlayStation console that wowed gamers with fancy tech demos. And they show a picture here of Tekken Tag Tournament for the PlayStation 2, and what they're as of now calling Tekken PlayStation 3, which absolutely wowed everybody with that. Number 3, sleek white console following in footsteps of bulky black console. The Sega Saturn, very, very bulky. The Xbox, very, very bulky. The Dreamcast, nice and sleek. The Xbox 360, nice and sleek. Made its American view on debut on MTV. Both of them made their American debut on MTV. This, I mean, it's amazing how many similarities. Both of them ran on Windows. Their slogans, it's thinking compared to a living entertainment experience. Pretty similar there. But the most interesting about this, their logos, very, very similar. I mean, I didn't even realize this at first. This is a very, very similar logo to the Dreamcast logo when they first started out. Both of them are unable to play the latest and cutting-edge movie media. The Dreamcast couldn't play DVDs. This can't play HD, DVD, Blu-ray. Peter Moore both spearheaded the marketing campaign for both of these. That's not exactly a good thing. Tetsuya Mizuguchi, working on highly anticipated first-party title. For Xbox 360, 99 Nights. For Dreamcast, Space Channel 5. Pepsi tie-ins. Unique selling points. Mic microphones. Both of them had microphone peripherals. And number 23 on the list, which is probably the biggest problem that the Xbox 360 will face. Number 23 for the Dreamcast, Metal Gear Solid 2 trailer stole much of its next generation thunder. And the Xbox 360, the Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer stole much of its next generation thunder. Now, they also have 10 reasons why the Xbox 360 might very well succeed in the market. Now, for one thing, Sega Saturn was a complete failure, all right? Everybody knows that. Xbox wasn't. Square did not support Dreamcast. They support Xbox 360. EA never supported Dreamcast. EA's on board with Xbox 360. Xbox Live worked with broadband right off the bat, obviously. Dreamcast didn't. Dreamcast wasn't backwards compatible. Xbox is, sort of. As I just mentioned, plenty of games on the Xbox 360 that will not work that used to be Xbox games. The Dreamcast controller, all right, let's be straight here, okay? I know there are plenty of fans out there of the Dreamcast controller. It stunk. It was so clunky when you were using it. You could not play a fighting game on this. I mean, I tried multiple times. It is so hard to get used to that controller. Sure, once you get used to it, it's easy, but if you're picking it up for the first time, if you got a buddy that had a Dreamcast, and you would just go over to his house and play some games, you'd have a lot of trouble using that controller. Really. I mean, it's so bulky in your hand. The Xbox 360, much sleeker controller. A lot sleeker than the Xbox controller was even. And it is wireless as well, which is always a plus. And of course, Xbox 360 will have Halo 3. And that's pretty much the end of it right there. And of course, they can spend as much money as they want, while Sega was sort of limited. So, plenty of positives and plenty of negatives going up against the Xbox 360. Is it going to succeed? Even though it's not completely backwards compatible? Even though it has a lot of obstacles ahead of itself, even though it's got competition looming only a year away? We'll just have to wait and see. Now, I think it should be safe for at least the first year, but once the rest of the competition comes out, it's going to have major problems. It really will, because people are not going to buy into subpar games. The Xbox 360 is going to have to wow everybody right off the bat. Screw graphics, they need gameplay right off the bat. They need something other than just Halo 3 to look forward to as well. They need damn good games, and they need them right off the bat. They need their launch titles to be damn good games right off the bat. They look good. They certainly look good off the bat so far. But we haven't played them yet. So the playtest will prove to everybody, once and for all, if the Xbox 360 will succeed. Time will tell, my folks. Time will tell. Xbox, you got trouble looming a year away. But the good news is, it's a year away. Anything, and I mean anything, can happen. So, the Xbox's major competition has always been Sony's PlayStation. The PlayStation 2 versus the Xbox. Now it'll be the PlayStation 3 versus the Xbox 360. Sony as a company, up until now, has been one of the most leading companies out there. It has been a company that you could turn to and expect a very, very decent product. You'd expect to be wowed. Absolutely wowed by what they show you. Well, Sony BMG, as I mentioned in last week's show, soiled the name of Sony with their gigantic rootkit scandal that hit the stands. It was proven that this rootkit is indeed dialing back to Sony. Whether they use that information against anybody, we don't know yet, but it's definitely dialing back to Sony, telling Sony exactly what you're doing with your CDs. So exactly what I was fearing is exactly the case. Sony is pulling all of these CDs off the market, and they put out an apology on their website. And here it is. You can find it at cp.sonybmg.com/xcp. And this was released on November 16th, 2005. That's yesterday. To our valued customers, you may be aware of the recent attention given to the XCP content protection software included on some Sony BMG CDs. This software was provided to us by a third-party vendor, First for Internet. Discussion has centered on security concerns raised about the use of CDs containing this software. And I'm actually going to link to the list in the show notes just so that everybody will know whether they have one of these CDs or not. We share the concerns of consumers regarding these discs, and we are instituting a program that will allow consumers to exchange any CD with XCP software for the same CD without copy protection. We also have asked our retail partners to remove all unsold CDs with XCP software from their store shelves and inventory. We will make further details of this program available shortly. We deeply regret any inconvenience this may cause our customers, and we are committed to making this situation right. It is important to note that the issues regarding these discs exist only when they are played on computers, not on conventional non-computer-based CDs and/or DVD players. Our new initiatives follow the measures we have already taken, including last week's voluntary suspension of the manufacture of CDs with the XCP software. In addition to address security concerns, we provided to major software and antivirus companies a software update, which also may be downloaded at, and they give the link to it. We will shortly provide a simplified and secure procedure to uninstall the XCP software if it resides on your computer. Now I'll give the link. It's cp.sonybmg.com/xcp/english/updates.html. Ultimately, the experience of consumers is our primary concern, and our goal is to help bring our artists' music to as broad an audience as possible, blah, 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 blah. Please check here for a fact on this topic. So that's their apology. That's their, we're sorry we screwed up. Now, are they really sorry, or are they just covering their asses? That's what I'm wondering here. Now, to me, it really looks like they're just covering their asses. They pull all the CDs from the shelves. That's step one. So that you can't blame them for keeping them on the shelves. They offer refunds to anybody who has the software. That's step two. And step three, they will not make these anymore. The fact they're actually going to the trouble of re-releasing these discs without copyright protection and supplying them to people who did purchase these CDs does prove something, at least. It does prove that they are at least trying to rectify the situation. But who's to say this won't happen again? Who's to say that Warner doesn't have some sort of software like this? Who's to say that, let's say, Elektra did it or something along those lines? The fact of the matter is, the technology is still out there. It can still be utilized to know exactly what you're doing when you're doing it. It can still be used for the exact reason people hated it. And it could still happen without you even knowing. Sony might be recalling these, but like I said, doesn't mean it's going to stop. Doesn't mean they're not going to go out there and try a brand new type of DRM that's, yet again, undetectable. Sure, it'll be detectable eventually, but for a while, it could very well be undetectable. This is what they do. They hate, and I mean hate, when you use their music to put it on anybody else's equipment. They hate it. I can understand why they hate it, but they have to make sure that people know that you can turn to a company and not be afraid to purchase their discs. Fear is the main thing that stops people from purchasing a product these days. Many people turn to Macintosh computers because they're afraid of Windows computers. They're afraid of the viruses, of the spyware that you can get inside of a Windows computer. Many people, yet again, will not purchase an iPod because they're afraid that the iPod will crash and they'll lose every single piece of music they have on their iPod. Fear is such a factor in the marketplace. And Sony, you did not add to it by doing what you did. You should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm sure you are by now, because obviously you're certainly ashamed that you're losing all this money by having to reprint all of these CDs and put them out in the marketplace. I'm sure you didn't want it to turn out this way, but it did. Now you're stuck with it. Live with it, Sony, because you're not turning anywhere to get away from this. This problem is going to plague you. Absolutely plague you. For a long time to come. So all I have to say is ready yourselves for people not to trust you nearly as much. They said they're not going to put any sort of DRM onto the PlayStation 3, which is a step. But should we actually believe them? I don't know. We'll just have to find out. So it's time to turn to some viewer emails here on GeekSpeak. And I have received two very nice emails from listeners to the podcast. And I'm going to start things off with Rob Welker, producer of CoinOp.tv. And he wrote to me just the other day, and here's what he had to say. Hi, Ian. Just found your podcast. Enjoying what I've heard so far. Totally agree with your comments on DC and Marvel. It is a shame how crappy Marvel has gotten over the years. I really think DC has the great writers and lots of good artists now, and the Infinite Crisis things seem promising so far. About the only Marvel book I've gotten lately was The Young Avengers, which I myself pick up. It's a great book, which had some good art and writing. I'll be curious to see what other comic stuff you talk about. Best of luck with things. And that's Rob Welker, producer of CoinOp.tv. And I am certainly going to plug CoinOp.tv right now. CoinOp.tv is a videocast, basically. It's a vidcast that's been going on the air for the past 2 years that deals in retro gaming, which I absolutely love. Retro arcade gaming, retro console gaming, that's what it does. They recently had an entire series of things from the latest IGN Expo that happened. They have interviews with the man who's putting together Pac-Man World 3. and a whole bunch of other great stuff on the website. So definitely check out coinop.tv. Highly recommend it. I've watched about three of their vidcasts so far, like what I see. And again, thank you bunches to Rob Welkner for writing in about the show. Also, got an email from Deliberate Noise of the Deliberate Noise podcast, which also has a podcast called Comic Book Noise. And he wrote, "I'm about halfway through this show, the first one I've heard, that's Geek Speak Episode 7, and I have to say I like it. I like it a lot. This may change by the time I get to the end, but somehow I doubt it. Well, since he didn't write back saying that he hated the rest of the show, I'm assuming that he liked it. Thank you very much for the kind words on that." And once again, he has a podcast at deliberatenoise.com and at comicbooknoise.com. Comic Book Noise is a very interesting comic book podcast. I listened to the first two episodes of the series, and he had a nice little retrospective on Stan Lee and his career, and he did a rant. He does random comic reviews also. Reviewed a couple of issues. He reviewed a... what was it again? Okay, well, I'm gonna look it up right now. He reviewed Gotham Central. There we go. He reviewed Gotham Central in his first episode, and he did a couple of reviews of a couple of other projects here and there. Definitely a very interesting podcast, and you should certainly look into that. I haven't had a chance to listen to his other podcast, DeliberateNoise.com, Deliberate Noise Podcast. I haven't had a chance to listen to that yet, but I will certainly try and listen to a couple of episodes sometime in the near future. But thanks again for the emails. And I can't stress it enough, any of you out there who have anything you want to tell me, don't be afraid to do so over at speakgeekspeak.com. Now, switching over to retro gaming, of course, just to make coinop.tv a little happy. Now, there's a brand new project coming out. I believe it actually is out, actually. Yes, it's a brand new homebrew game for the original NES, which is a tribute to Grand Theft Auto 3, and it's entitled Grand Theftendo. Yeah, you heard that right. Grand Theftendo. A Nintendo game based on Grand Theft Auto 3. So you're basically playing a Nintendo version of Grand Theft Auto 3. Now, here's the information from GrandTheftendo.com. Grand Theftendo is a new homebrew game for the original NES, a tribute to Rockstar Games, blah, 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 as I just said. Purely a project of my spare time, and has progressed very nicely. I kept the development of it quiet until the very end of 2004, in which GTA San Andreas and, more importantly, GTA Advance were released. After the release of GTA Advance, a top-down take on Liberty City, I decided there was no better time to show the world my efforts. Here you'll find information on the game, its history, and how it is being developed. From the paper to the PC to the NES, it's come a long way since it began. And just from the screenshots I see here of Grand Theftendo, I gotta say, this is a very interesting product. I mean, I love seeing homebrew old-fashioned games. And this looks like it was done very, very, very decently. I mean, you don't see many games out there that actually take games from scratch and work on them. You usually see a lot of hacks and stuff like that. This is a from-scratch NES game from the ground up. And it's certainly off to a good start. I mean, I would love... I mean, I have a Nintendo emulator at home, and I would absolutely love to be able to play this game once it comes out. Mind you, I'm not too much of a Grand Theft Auto fan in general, but for some reason, retro gaming always seems so much more appetizing to me. You know, it always seems like a nice, like, trip back to the past, if that makes sense. I just love it a lot more than the new games, which is why I'm not too much of a rush to buy an Xbox 360 or a PlayStation 3. Because I'm happy where I am. I don't really need to go anywhere. Everybody's always looking forward to the next thing. We're fine where we are, in my opinion. But, I'm not Sony. I'm not Microsoft. They need their next game to generate as much publicity as possible, and well, they're doing that, so be it. What are you going to do? But definitely check out Grand Theftendo at GrandTheftendo.com, and you will be as interested in it as I am, I hope. Grand Theftendo will not be for sale. It'll be released when it's completed. You'll be able to play it on any emulator, and I would love to play it when this comes out. And I'm sure any fan of Grand Theft Auto would want to give it a shot. So I had to use the somber music. I had to. Because something near and dear to my heart has been canceled. Gotta mention it. Because if I don't, then people won't know about it. Arrested Development. One of my most popular shows out there has been canceled. Yeah. It's because Fox sucks. We all know that by now. Fox has canceled yet another brilliant show. Without giving any shot at all. Episode 3 of the season just aired, and they have already lowered the episode count to 13. Already. I mean, can you believe that? That's not giving it a shot at all. Now, a lot of people didn't even know that the season had started, because Fox, for the first time ever, tried starting their season before the World Series. So they had about a 2 to 3 week break in between airings of their shows. Actually, it was a lot longer than that, to tell you the truth. It was probably about a month in between the shows. And that's not usually something you do. So when it came back, a lot of people didn't even know that it was back, because it had been gone for 3 to 4 weeks. So, you know, figure, give it a little more time to, you know, catch back on with all the fans that didn't realize it was back, and then see what you're going to end up doing. But that's not what happened at all. Of course not. Fox went out and immediately lowered the episode count of Arrested Development. Ratings were not good. I'll admit that. The ratings were not good. But they very well could have given it more time before making such a decision. They've done this in the past. Didn't give shows like Wonderfalls a chance to catch on. They didn't give shows like Firefly a chance to catch on, even though they got pretty much all of the season except for the 3 episodes that didn't air. Wonderfalls, I guess, is more of a glowing example, considering that only got about 3 or 4. And it's already canceled Kitchen Confidential, which had a very, very good cast, a very, very good writing cast, but just nobody was watching it. So what are you going to do? Not really too good in execution, that's the thing. You could have a great cast and great writers, just if you don't execute it right, you're screwed. That's what happened with Kitchen Confidential. But Arrested Development certainly deserves better than this. Now, a lot of the people involved in Arrested Development were sort of expecting this to happen. I mean, they barely got a 3rd season to begin with. And I'm not too surprised by this happening, but I am upset about it. Because it was one of my favorite shows. I own both seasons 1 and 2. On DVD. You can get both of them on Amazon.com right now for very cheap. They're actually the most... They are, I believe, ranked 1 and 2 on Amazon.com right now, which proves how many people are interested in the show. A lot of them just wait until the DVDs. A lot of people are probably going to go out there and buy the DVDs now to try and prove that this show does indeed have legs. And I hope it actually does make a difference, but I would not be surprised if it doesn't. Now, there's been talk... Rumors are spreading, as they always do. There's talk already that Arrested Development might end up going to a show like Showtime, a channel like Showtime, or anything along those lines. Now, I hope it survives. I really do. Because it seems like every single time I get into a show, it's always off the air before I know it. On a regular basis, stuff like this happens to me. And I'm just tired of it. I don't know whether it's, like, do I like shows that are just, like, too intelligent for other people, or... See, that's the thing also. Arrested Development has a very quirky comedy style. Type of style that not many... Well, I guess not many... Well, I can't really say not many, because it did have about 2.6 million viewers. But, again, Nielsen boxes usually don't paint the entire picture. And that's another thing. What's the deal with Nielsen boxes? I got to say, and pardon my Seinfeld moment with the what's the deal, but what is the deal with Nielsen boxes? You know how outdated that technology is by now? Seriously, I mean, who, out of everybody listening to the show right now, I would love to find out if anybody has a Nielsen box. And I'd love for them to email me to let me know. Because I have never met a person in my life who had a Nielsen box, ever. Out of all my friends, out of all my acquaintances, all the people I've met along the way, nobody's had a Nielsen box. So that's not really exactly a showing of who is actually watching a television program. No, that's random. Sure, it's random for a reason. But a lot of people, a lot more people watch shows than people would think. Just because Nielsen people don't watch Arrested Development does not mean it's not a popular show, as the DVD numbers prove. And yet Fox does not want to believe that. And that's why the show is on its last ropes. I hope it finds new life somewhere else. I'd absolutely love it to end up on another network. I'm sure there are other networks out there that would take Arrested Development. But another question comes to mind. If it ends up on something like Showtime, where you can get away with a lot more, where you can make it lewder and cruder if you want to, because all of those rules aren't really there anymore, you got to think to yourself, wouldn't that take away from the comedy a little bit? If it ended up on a HBO or a Showtime, you'd be able to get away with all the curses. And half the fun of Arrested Development is when you hear those curses bleeped. Now, I would hope that they would keep that to give it sort of that documentary feel that it's always had. But they might decide otherwise if it does indeed end up on cable. Because if you can get away with it, then obviously you get away with it. So it's on its last ropes. And I do indeed hope that when Arrested Development comes back, that all the fans of Arrested Development step up and watch it. Now, you can sign a petition, sure. You can send them letters, sure. In fact, the letters are probably better than petitions because those online petitions have only worked for one show ever, and that's Roswell. And that didn't even get us more than like a second season, so what are you going to do? Just please, go out there, watch Arrested Development, sign up for the newsletter even at GetArrested.com. Make your presence known. Let everybody know that you are indeed a fan and that you will be very upset when this show ends up off the air. Because if they don't know, how are they going to hear you? So, on the Apple side, because there's always a little bit of Apple news and everything, the Apple side of things is that the Macintosh is switching over to Intel. It's been reported many a time. And everybody is waiting for this to happen. Because once Macintosh switches over to Intel, you'll be able to use... Well, technically, I mean, not legally, but you'll be able to possibly use two operating systems on one single computer, which has never really happened before, unless you have Linux and Windows. But everybody loves Apple. Everybody's always wanted to have the opportunity to use their Apple on an Intel chip, and finally they'll have that opportunity. Well, it's been reported that it'll probably happen by about June. Well, things are possibly going to be happening a little earlier than that. There have been reports coming out now, rumors coming out, that possibly as early as January, there might very well be Intel iBooks out there. Now, at Mac Expo, that's been reported to be the time that everybody is expecting to have their iBooks. Not PowerBooks yet, not iMacs. I mean, excuse me, not Yeah, not iMacs or PowerBooks, iBooks. That's the only thing that is going to be Intel as of now. But that's going to be a huge, I mean, huge announcement. Surprising a lot of people, it's coming out as early as it did. But the operating system is already operational. And there's people out there that have a working Intel OS already. Again, not legally, but what are you going to do? Those people are out there. And they're ready to try this new experience on a brand new piece of hardware. This is going to revolutionize things here. To have any opportunity to use Windows and Mac at the same time, it's going to revolutionize things, obviously. Now, again, that's just up in the air, because I mean, you never know. You might be able to use it, you might not. Again, not legally. I can't stress that enough, but who cares? Who's going to go after you, you know? But the iBooks running on Intel processors is a huge leap for iBooks in general, because you've got a very different processor speed, very different power coming out from an Intel chip than you had with the PowerPC chip. They switched over, and now actually Xboxes are using PowerPC chips, if I remember correctly, which was an interesting shift indeed. But they want to get out there, and they want to prove to the world that they are ever-changing. Steve Jobs is up for Man of the Year this year from Time Magazine. That's how popular he is right now. That's how popular Macintoshes are right now. They're getting more of the market share day by day. Sure, still people like Windows still own the market share, and they will for years, but they can still cut into it. My proof of this will come from a company such as Mozilla, which has completely cut into the market share of Internet Explorer, the main Microsoft browser. Millions of people now use Mozilla Firefox because it's a better browser. And millions of people use Macintoshes because it's a better OS. Those numbers go up day by day. If I had the money, I would definitely be one of those people switching over. But right now I don't, so I'll have to wait. But on the side of good, there's always a bad side of things. And there are reports coming out. This is being reported from MacRumors.com. And it's been in the works for a while now, because the music industry has been wanting this for a while. And you can only hold them off for long enough before eventually things blow up in your face. Well, MacRumors.com is indeed reporting that the iTunes Music Store might no longer have its uniform 99-cent price plan that it's had for years now. Steve Jobs reportedly has discussed the issue, and although the details of those discussions were not given and it was not claimed that Jobs made specific statements about ITMS pricing himself, Alan Levy, CEO of EMI Music, who had the discussions with Steve Jobs, has stated, "There is a common understanding that we will have to come to a variable pricing solution. The issue is when. There was a case for superstars to have a higher price." Now, there's a plus side to this and there's a negative side of this. On the one hand, you might be able to get cheaper pricing on lesser-known artists, which actually might give those lesser-known artists more of a chance. The negative side of things is that people are not going to want to pay $2 to hear a song. The whole idea behind the 99-cent uniform pricing plan was that everybody got an equal chance. Their music could be heard from every side of things. 99 cents is not too bad. 69 cents is even better. $2, no. But who knows if it'll be $2 or $1.50 or $1.25, who knows yet. But are you going to really pay $1.25 to hear Britney Spears? I don't think so. And that's what they probably mean by superstars. The superstars are complaining. Well, not the superstars themselves. They probably don't care. The companies involved with the superstars do care. And they want money. They always want money. They always want a share. They'll have a much more of a share if the prices on songs goes up. That's a given. They like money. All these companies do. They'll be getting more of it. You'll be taking more of it out of your wallet to buy these songs. Will you actually buy them, though? See, I think this is only going to drive piracy up more. Because people, for 99 cents, were not too against paying 99 cents. But like I said, they're not going to pay $1.25. They're not going to. They can try, but they're going to fail. It's as simple as that. BitTorrent's too strong right now. File sharing is way too strong right now to combat a price hike of any kind. They're in deep if they actually make that decision. I hope they don't. But then again, I'm not Apple. And I'm certainly not a production company either. I hope I never am either, because it'll probably go to my head. It's wind up here on GeekSpeak. Wind up time indeed, where I switch things over from the geek side of things to the sports side of things. And today I'm going to talk a little Knicks. The New York Knicks have proven that they are terrible. To steal a line from Stephen A. Smith, they're terrible. However, there is no however here. They're 2-6 on a year, okay? That's pathetic. You win two games. There were such high hopes. Everybody was thinking that just because Larry Brown was the coach, that things were going to seriously change here in New York. That he was going to be the magic bullet that was going to reshape the entire organization. That was going to lead everybody to stardom. That was going to make everybody start believing again. I got news for you. It's not going to happen. You need a lot more than a coaching change to make a team good. You can't survive on hope alone. You really can't. The Knicks need talent. The Knicks need trades to actually get some talent in here. And I have a very young team right now. Larry Brown's not too good with the young people. I got to admit. I mean, the reason why he was so great in places like Detroit was because he had established veterans on the club. Who do you have on the Knicks? You got Stephon Marbury. That's it. And Stephon Marbury doesn't like playing with other people to begin with. He's a ball hog. Everybody knows that. So, in my opinion, the blame here actually has to go to a guy like Isaiah Thomas for hiring Larry Brown. I know that there weren't many other options out there, but you got problems, Knicks, that you're not going to be able to solve with a coach. You're going to have to make trades, and you're going to have to do it now. Because if you don't, you're just going to keep burying yourself deeper and deeper and deeper in that hole until you find yourself in last place for the entire season. Now, if I were the Knicks, I would have tried to get Van Gundy's brother away from Miami. Jeff Van Gundy's brother, very, very good coach, and I have a feeling he's much better with dealing with young talent than any of the other members of the New York Knicks staff. But it's too late now. You made your choice. You got Larry Brown. Got him for a while, and you got your players too. Have fun. It's going to be a long season. That much I will guarantee. That was the windup. Now here's the pitch. Every Monday from 2 to 3 on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web brooklyncollegeradio.org, you can hear me, Ian Levenstein, Jason Green, Joey, David, the whole crew on the Sporting Goods. The email address here at GeekSpeak is speakgeekspeak@gmail.com. That's SPEAKGEEKSPEAK @gmail.com. The website, once again, is speakgeekspeak.com. Same spelling. And once again, we have forums up now. So if anybody wants to speak their piece in public, you can do so at speakgeekspeak.com/forums. Now, next week, obviously, is Thanksgiving. So I'm not going to be on here on Thursday. However, I might try to get in here on Wednesday if one of the studios is open and tape an episode of GeekSpeak. If not, then we'll see how things goes. I also put a invitation out there to the Comic GeekSpeak guys. I'm not sure if they actually got it yet, but I put an invitation out there for them to possibly join me for a crossover episode sometime in the near future. If that happens next week, then obviously that'll be the episode you hear, but everything's up in the air. I haven't actually gotten okay from them yet, so I'm not going to confirm anything, because obviously I can't, because that would be stupid. But we'll see what ends up happening this upcoming week, because I want episode 10 to be huge. I want to have as many things as possible in that episode to celebrate the fact that we are hitting double digits. But anyway, once again, I am Ian Levenstein, and this has been Geek Speak on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Episode 9 is in the can, to steal a line from Leo Laporte. So, have a good week. Enjoy your geek. Take care, everybody. I'll see you hopefully next week, and if not, I'll see you in 2. It's time to speak geek with the geeks. Gaming, tech, news, and more here on Geek Speak. Thursdays from 6 to 7 on Brooklyn College Radio 1090 AM and streaming on the web at brooklyncollegeradio.org. Let's geek out, everybody.